Good morning, everyone.
Praise God that you guys are here with us today. I'm so excited about what God's doing in our church. We're a church. I was thinking about this. This location has met in five different locations in a matter of 6 years. I mean, think about it. That's crazy. That's crazy for a church to go through that many changes. And God's constantly bringing us through changes as a church. But, you know, I'm excited about what God's going to do the end of this year and moving forward, because I believe that God still has a purpose for us as Oasis Union County. And I believe that until God says otherwise, we need to be faithful and go where he calls us. And so there's probably going to be a lot more changes to come. Even the five locations that we've met in 6 years, I don't think that's it. Rick Warren, you guys know Rick Warren. He was saying that in the first, I think, 10 years of his church, they met in 17 different locations. That's insane. I mean, how's that sustainable? And yet God used them, and he used Rick Warren in his church, and they're reaching so many people in Southern California. And I believe that God wants to use Oasis. He wants to use the local church in general, but I believe he wants to use Oasis to reach a community of people, whether it's in Scotch Plains. I mean, we've been in Mountainside, Springfield, Clark, and who knows where God's going to bring us next. But I do believe that God has something special for us. And I want to speak with you today kind of a little bit about that, because we're going to go into the book of Jonah over the next 4 weeks. And the book of Jonah is interesting because God had a very specific task for Jonah. And Jonah didn't want to do it. And Jonah saw the task as impossible. He saw the task as something that he didn't think he could do. And so he ran. And that's so easy for us in our own lives, even as a church, to be faced with obstacles and want to run. But the book of Jonah, as we'll see, is not a story necessarily even about the people that run, but it's about a God who runs after people who run. It's about a God who loves us and pursues us no matter what. And so I want to share a little bit about that today, just how much God loves us, just how much God pursues us relentlessly at all costs, that he never stops fighting for us. And, you know, as a church, as a people, there's so many things and so many people that try to stand against us. But we have a God who is for us. And oftentimes, we even get in our own way, don't we? We kind of make our own disaster, kind of like what Jonah does, as we'll find out. You know, have you ever been in a season where everything just seems disastrous? You know, where perhaps it feels like maybe God's the one responsible for it all. Or at the very least, he's the one that's allowing it to happen. And, you know, your prayer is, God, I don't understand why you've brought me to this point in my life, why you're calling me this way. And maybe you can relate to Jonah, where you feel it was easier just to turn away and go in a completely opposite direction. Well, you're not alone in feeling this way. I feel like I'm describing my own life. And we're definitely describing Jonah's life, who he dealt with this similar dilemma. And the story of Jonah is a story that is almost universally known. Most of us probably grew up in church and we're used to the Sunday school version of Jonah, where we hear about this guy who gets swallowed by a whale. We'll find out it's not really even a whale probably, but he gets swallowed by a whale. And it's kind of a children's story of moral obedience, right? A lot of people read the book of Jonah as an allegorical story or kind of a parable, a children's fairy tale, not necessarily as a historical narrative. But it's interesting because if you look elsewhere in the Bible, in 2 Kings, and also Jesus mentions Jonah as a real historical figure, a guy that actually existed. And so much like the resurrection of Jesus, the Jonah narrative is actually meant to show us that God not only says he loves us, but he actually demonstrates it throughout history. And therefore, we can trust God and have faith, not a blind faith, but a confident faith that God cares for us. And the story of Jonah is such a story. And so I see great value in the story of Jonah, not only because of the veracity of the account, but more importantly, it goes much, much deeper than just a moral lesson. You know, it's not just do what God says or you'll be swallowed by a giant sea monster, right? It's not just repent and the sea monster will regurgitate you. I mean, that's what happens, but I think more so at the core, like I said earlier, is that the book of Jonah teaches us that even when we turn our backs on God, God never turns his back on us. His love for us is too strong to let us go. And when you are at the lowest of your life and it seems like you are alone, when it seems like you can't find the strength to move forward and you feel like it would just be better to run away, it's at this moment that God pursues us at all costs. His grace seeks to pull us back in. So there's nothing allegorical about this. We're talking how God relates to the people he loves. And Jonah has an encounter with God. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at this encounter, just how much God relentlessly pursues him in love and how that love ultimately will prevail. So, you know, if you've been in a season where you find yourself up against an impossible task or felt like giving up, I encourage you to come back. Maybe you know someone that could hear this message, because over the next 4 weeks, we're going to see an amazing, miraculous story of God's love. So hang in there for 4 weeks. It's going to be amazing, because what we find is that Jonah has an encounter with the Word of God. And when we have an encounter with the Word of God, something amazing happens. We're never the same. And so let me read you the first three verses of Jonah chapter 1. If you have a Bible, you can open it. Otherwise, the verse is up here. Just to give you a little background about Jonah, because honestly, most of us probably are just thinking about those Sunday school stories of Jonah. And so maybe there's a little bit differences by looking at the Word of God. So Jonah 1:1-3 tells us this. It starts right off. We don't have much background about Jonah. It just starts right off with this. That the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, that's a hard word to say, Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So what we find here is that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah. And all we know is that Jonah is a prophet of God. That's his position. He's the mouthpiece of God for his generation. And this was his calling. We see later, actually, the verses later that Jonah says, "I fear the Lord." And when we see that word Lord all in caps in the Bible, it's the proper name of God. It's the Jehovah name, the Yahweh name of God. And so what he's saying is that, you know, there's a lot of gods that people seek to listen to, but he's saying the word of Yahweh, the word of Jehovah came to Jonah. And much like many times before, as a mouthpiece of Yahweh, his job was to obey that word. And we see right away that this word causes an inner conflict in Jonah. Now, Nineveh, the place that God calls Jonah to go and preach, Nineveh is not just any ordinary place. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire at the time, which was one of Israel's greatest enemies. So Israel, this tiny piece of land in the Middle East, has all these enemies surrounding it, seeking to go in and conquer them. And the Assyrian Empire has been conquering land all throughout that region. They're a brutal people. They're a warlike people. When they conquer you, it's not pretty. They do some pretty brutal stuff. And so Jonah, God is calling Jonah to go in and tell the Ninevites to repent of their sin and turn back to Yahweh. Now, to me, this would be like, think about this, a city of people. This would be like one man. Let's say you're a Giants fan, and God calls you to go into Dallas Stadium and to go stand in the middle of the field and preach to an entire stadium of Dallas fans to repent of their sin of being Cowboys fans and come back to being Giants fans. That's what it would be like. It'd be like going in front of all these people and telling them, repent. Now, that would scare anyone. And Jonah, he's, for whatever reason, he's scared. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't value the word of the Lord that came to him. And so what does he do? It says he runs. And when we look at Jonah and the fact that he runs, I hope the first thing that we can see is the Jonah in us. That, you know, oftentimes God gives us a word or we read the word and it scares us or we don't want to do it. And we've all turned our back on God at some point in our life, haven't we? And what God called Jonah to do was to go, love your enemy. Love your enemy and seek good for those who harm you. And Jonah says, no, I'm not going to do it. And I wonder how often we don't listen to the word of God because we think there's a better way. Or we think we don't value what God wants us to go do. Maybe it's we don't value the person that God wants us to go reach out to. Or we don't really value the task. Because oftentimes God will call us to something, to do something that we don't necessarily want to do. Oftentimes God places a calling on our life and we know that God is calling us to do it, but maybe out of fear we don't do it, or maybe out of doubt we don't do it, or pride or anger, I don't know what it is. Maybe God has called you to forgive someone who has wronged you, but deep down you don't really want to do it. Or maybe God is calling you to reach out to that annoying person at work who is constantly just giving you all sorts of problems, to reach out to them with the love of Christ. But honestly, I don't like that person. I don't want to do that. So maybe God is calling you, you know, as a church. Think about it on the church level. God is calling us as a people to go out and reach a lost and hurting world. A lost and hurting world that doesn't even know that they're lost and hurting. So oftentimes, we don't want to do that. As a church, oftentimes we feel like, well, the people will come to us. You know, someone else will do it. But God has called us to do it. God has called us to go out, and basically to go out and bring people to Christ. And we're going to meet opposition. We're going to meet people that are going to make fun of us and persecute us. I mean, God might be calling you to reach out to your neighbor, and I've been guilty of this where it's like, well, I don't want to really invite my neighbor to church. What are they going to think of me? I have to see this person every single day. And so oftentimes God calls us to do things that we don't want to do. And so maybe God's calling you to something today, and you know he's calling you to do it, but you've just kind of not really had the strength to move forward to do it. In fact, maybe you've distracted yourself by trying to turn and run away. You know, other things, sometimes God calls us not to do something in his word, but yet we still do it. You know, we know that it's probably wrong. We know that it's probably not good for us, but we're so consumed with it, we feel like we can't stop. And God's desire for us will often call us into uncomfortable situations. But what God is saying is that when God calls us to something that we don't want to do, and it's natural as a human to have fear and doubt, he wants us to replace that doubt with faith, with trust and dependency that if God calls us to it, that it's ultimately good for our life. Not that it's going to feel good necessarily for our life, but that it is good for us. And I think the only way that we'll ever be able to do this, to replace fear and doubt and anger with faith, is if we catch the heart of God. We have to catch the heart of God. Think about this. Jonah, the reason he ultimately runs, and we'll find this out, is because he doesn't have the heart for Nineveh the way that God has a heart for Nineveh. And you think about, ultimately, Jonah is a guy that God calls him, go reach out to these people, and he says, no. And what we'll find is Jonah's a little bit of a racist, actually, we're going to find. He doesn't like the people of Nineveh. And if we're going to be a people that listen to the word of God, our heart has to beat for the things that God's heart beats for. You know, you look at the underlying motivation for this entire story. We get so focused on Jonah and what he does that what was the reason that God reached out to Jonah in the first place? He says to go reach Nineveh. God loves the Ninevites. That's what I want you to see, that God loves the people of Nineveh. And I wonder if at the core we write off God's calling in our life because it doesn't necessarily, his heart and our hearts don't align. Or what he's calling to us doesn't line up with our routine. And what happens when that happens? What did Jonah do? It says that Jonah, in verse 3, rose to flee to Tarshish. Now, it's interesting. He rose because he says he wants to flee from the presence of the Lord. Think about that. Jonah would rather cut himself off from the presence of the Lord than to go and reach the Ninevites. He would rather be separated from God than to see the Ninevites come to God. Jonah decided, I don't need God in my life if it means I have to go to Nineveh. I don't need this calling in my life. And let me tell you that when we're faced with the call of God and we make a decision not to follow it, there's always going to be a boat waiting for us to take us in the other direction. Look at what happened with Jonah. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it. There's always a boat waiting for us. That when we say, I don't want to follow the word of God, there's always something waiting there to pull us away from God. Now, it's interesting. Tarshish was 2,500 miles west of Joppa. But you look at Nineveh. Nineveh was only 500 miles in the other direction. And so Jonah not only didn't follow where God called him to, but he would rather go 2,500 miles in the complete opposite direction. So we may not see it in the moment, but we think we can escape the presence of God, and we want to just flee in the complete opposite direction. And there's always that boat that's willing to take us there. There's always the thing that tries to pull us away. And sometimes we give in to those temptations, right? We take that boat. What I'm trying to say to you is that we should absolutely see that turning from the word of God is sinful and it's disobedient, for sure, just like Jonah. But what we're also saying and what we're seeing is that even though Jonah thought he could go away from the presence of the Lord, God relentlessly pursues him in love to bring him back, that God would not let him go because you have a God who won't let that ship carry you from your purpose, from his presence. You have a God that loves you so much, a God that will fight for you. His love for you is too great not to make a way of forgiveness. And as a Christian, that's the resurrection of Jesus. It provides that anchor for us. The resurrection of Jesus provides that anchor that doesn't let that ship go off in any direction that God wants it to go. For sure, God allowed Jonah to go pretty far. You know, if God wanted to, he would have stopped it right away, but he allowed Jonah to go, but he only allowed him to go so far. And why would God do that? Why would God allow Jonah to go? Well, what happens next in the Jonah story is probably, I think, the biggest act of God's love. And it's that he threatens Jonah's life with a storm. So what great love God must have for Jonah to bring that storm in his life. What does it say in the Bible? It says that Jonah gets on a ship with these sailors, and it says the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. And so what we see is that God oftentimes will send a storm in our life to get our attention, because we're so selfish and we're blinded by our pride that we often go off in our own directions, and God loves us too much to allow us to see us get destroyed by that decision. So sometimes he will send a storm in our life to catch our attention. You know, that thing in your life that will ultimately destroy you. You think about a child who runs out into the street, and a parent will discipline them, right? And a parent disciplines them not because they want to condemn their child, but they want to save their child. They want to save their child from getting hit by a car. And likewise, God will often discipline his children because he loves them. He doesn't want to see us go down a path that will ultimately lead to our destruction. And this is exactly what God does with Jonah. And I find it interesting that it's because of Jonah that his shipmates, these sailors, their life is put into danger. And the thing that we have to see is that when we disobey the word of God, we're not the only ones that are affected. When we disobey the word of God, other people are affected. There's collateral damage. But the amazing, I guess, paradox or the unsearchable wisdom of God is that he uses our destructive decisions for our benefit, and oftentimes will use our screw-ups to even bring about people to him. You look at what happens is that they bring this great tempest, and eventually these sailors will repent and come to the Lord. And so God not only loved Jonah, he not only loved the Ninevites, but he also loved those sailors. And I find that so amazing that God will use storms in our life to catch our attention and catch the attention of the people around us even. But oftentimes when we're stubborn like Jonah, we have to hit rock bottom before we'll ever see it. So maybe you're in that place right now where there's a storm in your life, or there's something going on in your life that you're struggling with. Well, maybe Maybe it's because God is trying to get your attention. He wants to call you to something that you know that you're running from. So the thing that we ultimately see here is that Jonah's worst nightmare was exactly what he needed. It was exactly what he needed. What happens next in the story? There's this great storm that comes, and Jonah realizes, yeah, this is because of me. And the sailors don't want to throw him overboard, but Jonah says, throw me overboard. This is all my fault. He realizes that he has endangered the lives of all the people around him. So he decides to give up on the fight. And what happens, the shipmates throw him overboard. And Jonah absolutely made the right decision to stop fighting God, but it's interesting that Jonah would rather die. He would almost rather die than to continue fighting. And sometimes when we run from God, we hit all these obstacles and we get to a point where it feels like I'm at the lowest of my low and I would rather die than to continue on. You know, I don't think that Jonah wanted to die. I just feel like he didn't think there was any other option. And in your life, when we run from God, we may feel like I am beyond hope. I am beyond rescue. I've turned my back on God. I've alienated myself from a lot of people. I'm causing all this disaster. It would be better if I just died than to continue on. But God, in those moments, when we come to the end of ourselves, it's in these moments that God reaches out to us and rescues us. Because what happens? It says that God sends this great sea monster to swallow up Jonah. And it says that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, this isn't like, there's a scene in Pinocchio where Geppetto gets swallowed by a whale and he's in the belly of the whale with a candle and like kind of a table and he's just hanging out. That's not it. Jonah is in the belly of the whale. He's in the intestines of the whale about to be digested by this great sea monster. So imagine what he must be thinking. And we're going to pick this up next week where Jonah is in the belly of the whale, but it's in this worst nightmare that we're going to find that Jonah gets exactly what he needs. Jonah quits running, and the sailors' lives are saved. And in his divine providence, God uses this situation to draw Jonah back. You know, this sea creature, just a side note, like I said before, it's not necessarily a whale. We always call it a whale, but it could be any type of sea creature. And the point is that it's not too late. It's not too late for us to make a U-turn. It's not too late for us to come back to God. Because what we'll find is when we feel like we're so far from God, if we would just turn around, we'll see that God is right there. He's been right there. He's been behind us trying to pull us in the whole time. So we're not that far from God. And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. But we're gonna wrap up here. And my encouragement to you, and I think the encouragement of this chapter in Jonah is to stop running. You know, what is God calling to you right now in your life? Where is he calling you to stop running and to obey his word? To replace the doubt or the fear or the anger or pride with faith? Because we can trust that if God can save Jonah from the belly of the whale, your situation is not too hopeless. It's not too unredeemable. And so we have to obey God's word, and we have to realize that there's so much trouble in this world, but God is there. He's always there. We can't escape God's presence. We may try to escape God's presence, but his presence is always there, relentlessly pursuing us in love. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word in Jonah. Lord, I thank you that you give us this amazing story of how you relentlessly pursue us in love. That in our rebellion, in our disobedience, Father, that you have forgiveness and grace for us if we would just turn around and see it. Father, I pray for maybe the person here who's going through a storm in their life. God, I pray that we could see that you're trying to get our attention. Father, that you would show us that we can have faith in this storm, that if we are in you, we are safe. God, I pray that you would give us the heart of God. I pray that you would give us the heart for people. Give us heart for the task that you're calling us to as a church, as a people. God, just as a Christian, a heart for the lost. God, your word is great. Your word, when it comes to us, we know that it is good. And I pray that we could go where you lead. I pray that your grace would pull us back in, to recenter us, to bring us back. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.